Hello, Bob. Thank you so much for joining me on the Wisdom Chat podcast. I really do appreciate your time. I know you're a busy person, so thank you very much for coming along. Bob, I know you're the chief executive of the Money Advice Liaison Group. Been going for what, about 37 years, is it now?
Absolutely. Time flies.
It does, doesn't it? And has a great sort of impact across the board within the finance and money and debt advice industry. Bob, tell me a little bit about how you came into the role and sort of the work of MALG.
Good. Well, good morning, Phil. Firstly, thanks very much indeed for inviting me, and great to be here. My role as chief executive, I joined approaching 6 years ago now, and my background, historically, I kicked off my working career with NatWest Bank and worked in banking for more years than I care to mention, and then joined the Institute of Customer Service and worked there for approaching 7 years as well. So it gave me a good background in finance and also in membership, as the Institute of Customer Service was a membership organization and still is today. And so it gave me a really good background to come into MALG. And the last 6 years have been a really, really challenging and interesting time. As you say, we've been in existence for over 35 years, and it's an organization that is about galvanizing the organizations that constitute our membership to work together to improve the lives of people with problem debt. And fundamentally, that's what it's all about. The founder, a guy called Anthony Sharp, had done a fantastic role in leading the organization until I took over. But I found there was a real opportunity to bring the organization into some of the modern day challenges of the 21st century. And what we've really done is to develop the organization in terms of its social media presence, in terms of its website, its interaction, and engaging with a far wider cross-section of organizations across the debt industry, to incorporate a lot of utility companies, legal companies, people who've come from the technological world. And indeed, our membership has been growing year on year since I took over.
That's brilliant, Bob. And having been involved myself for a while, and like you say, appreciate the work that Anthony's done. But you're right, moving forward, I was looking at the website the other day just to remind myself of the diversity of members that MAL currently has. And in a way, I suppose it reflects the fact that so much is happening in the finance industry, and there is an awful lot of uncertainty out there at the moment, isn't there, with regards to the effects of the pandemic, the isolations that people have had to experience, and so on and so forth.
Absolutely. I think the last couple of years have seen a further development of our proposition and how we've operated, Phil. Up until February 2020, every meeting that MALG has held has been face to face. So we have an annual conference, we have national meetings, and we have regional meetings across the whole of the UK. And all of those meetings up to that point were face to face, and that was really our modus operandi. But quite clearly, on the 23rd of March 2020, the world changed overnight.
It
And to be
certainly did.
fair, we had geared ourselves up to be fair. We'd used Zoom on a couple of occasions, more for sort of internal work. And we could see the way the wind was blowing before the announcement on the 23rd of March. And so on Friday, the 27th of March, we actually launched the MALG Friday Forum. So we were very quick to react to the situation. And the purpose of the forum really was to give all of our members an opportunity to just come along for an hour on a Friday morning without any agenda at all and to say, "Whoa, what's going on here?
Yeah.
how can we help you? We need people to help us. We want to share this information. We'd like to ask some questions. We'd like to discuss different issues.
Yeah.
And it really, you know, we dipped our toe into the water, not quite knowing how it would run. And we had a fantastic response from our members. We opened it up to both the national and the regional members. And we were having 50, 60, 70 people coming along every Friday.
Yeah.
Certainly over the first 3 or 4 months when we kickstarted it, we were getting those sort of numbers. Yeah. And it threw up some really interesting things. So, for example, debt advisors have been struggling to contact creditors because previously they had gone through their call centres. And, of course, the call centres couldn't operate because everybody was shut down and working from home. And so the creditors were operating different systems. And so we actually introduced a directory for creditors to give details of the best way in which they could be contacted,
yeah,
and shared that with our debt advice members so that they could easily access the creditors in the most appropriate way. So that's, yeah, just one example of what we did, but there were plenty of other things that were going on.
Yeah.
So throughout the whole of 2020, we ran those meetings every Friday morning. And to be honest, I was thinking, well, you know, it served its purpose. But actually, the members turned around and said, yeah, you know, we'd like this to carry on.
Yeah.
So we did. Into 2021, we moved it to fortnightly because we felt that was the right, yep, way to do it. And again, we've had really good support and attendance right the way through 2021. Yeah. And the PRA group kindly sponsored us. And indeed, we announced this week that they have continued their sponsorship to maintain the meetings into 2022.
That's fantastic.
Our first Friday forum for 2022 is next Friday on the 14th.
Yeah.
Which is great. And they'll be fortnightly thereafter. So, you know, that's,
yeah,
that's a good example. But we, not just that new introduction, but we moved all of our national meetings and all of our regional meetings,
yeah,
onto the virtual network and ran all of those meetings really ever since. Every single meeting we've had since March 2020 has been virtual, with the exception of our annual conference, which we were very fortunate to be able to hold face-to-face in London, yeah, last October.
Yeah.
And the plan certainly for the first quarter of this year, Phil, is to continue that virtual presence. We don't feel confident, yeah, that we're going to be in a face-to-face situation probably this side of Easter, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
But we would love to get back to yes, a blended approach of continuing on with some virtual meetings, because it actually, yeah, opens up access to MALG in a far wider context.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But also, I know some people really value that opportunity to meet face to face, have those chats on the coffee machine, etc.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think we do miss that sort of face to face interaction. But you're right, the online side has opened up another world. It brings its own challenges, in so much, yeah, as however many Zoom or Teams meetings that people have, they're quite sort of draining in some respects. But having said that, you're right, the accessibility to support and information, and even for advisors to know that they're not the only ones, there are others around and they can share ideas and share experiences and advice and tips and things like this that helps them help their clients. It's a wonderful thing. It has to be for anybody.
Yeah, it is. And I've always share an example of that, because there's a lovely lady who works for Citizens Advice in Penzance.
Right.
And with the best will in the world, she's never been to a face-to-face MALG meeting and probably won't, because even getting to Exeter for a regional meeting or to London for a national meeting, you know, it's from Penzance, it's a hell of a long way. So that's, yeah, that's a challenge. But she's been really engaged at the regional meetings and on the Friday forum sessions as well. And, you know, for me, that's a great example of how we've managed to reach out and bring in people, yeah, who wouldn't otherwise have been engaged with us.
Yeah. Now, I'm just thinking, Bob, people listening to this might be thinking, well, that's great, and it's wonderful to know that organisations like MAAG out there, not only bringing the industry together, all the people that need to be able to talk to each other, and that is a wonderful thing. I think it's one of the ways that has helped really shape some of the regulations and legislation that's been brought in, because people are willing to talk to one another and solve some of the challenges, the problems that arise when we talk about the financial sector. But when they're listening to this, they'll be thinking, okay, well, what impact is it going to have for me? And there's an awful lot happening at the moment. And we were obviously just saying earlier about how things are interconnected. So there isn't necessarily just one thing. But there's a lot of uncertainty at the moment. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think what we try to do wherever possible, and I think this is very much about my background with banking and particularly with the Institute of Customer Services, about listening to our customers. Yeah. And our customers are our members. And I think it's vitally important to be able to understand from them what are the most important issues, what are the challenges facing, and what can we do to try and support in terms of getting topics onto the table, whether that be on a Friday forum, whether it be at one of our national or regional meetings, and how do we actually put together our conferences or virtual events to meet the needs of our members. Now, the membership is so diverse that you've highlighted that, Phil, is that we're never going to be able to please all the people all the time.
No.
I think that is a step too far. But what we try to do is to listen as closely as we can do, to pick up on the topics that are of interest and to try and put together something that will meet those needs. Now, a good example, one of the issues that has spun out of recent external events that have been going on is the challenge that's going on in the energy industry at the moment. Quite clearly, the price of gas and electricity is increasing, and at the moment it seems to be that in the most part those companies are absorbing those costs themselves. Because they're probably hedged in terms of buying forward. But ultimately, that is going to impact the customer. So there's a lot going on. I don't think anybody outside of those industries truly understands the full ramifications of that.
No. And I think just to say, Bob, as well, there's the removal of the price cap coming up this year as well.
Yeah.
So
that,
in theory, could have a profound impact on greater rising costs as well, couldn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And of course, with the increased petrol costs, that increased the cost of distribution, etc. So that ultimately is going to lead to a rise in the price of most goods and services. So all of those things says to me, and our members have said to me, you know, we're concerned about this and we need to understand a bit more about this. So our next national meeting, which will be held on the 3rd of February, is actually going to focus and feature on that. So we've already got speakers lined up from Energy UK, from the Consumer Council for Water, and we've also got the NEA speaking as well. So that really is a good example of where there are things evolving and things that will ultimately impact the lives of people who are in problem debt, and therefore our members will be interested to understand more about it, so that the advisors can be better advised in terms of giving that advice, and the creditors can understand the ramifications of these changes.
Yes, I think that's a very good point that you make there, because without the facility of being able to bring these organisations together, you could imagine how much longer and more difficult it would be for anybody to move things forward positively and address some of these issues, like the rising costs of energy and the impact on the consumer, and especially those who are challenged financially. And so to know that there's an organisation that is actually working hard to bring these bodies together to address some of these issues has to be a positive. Just in sort of wrapping up a little bit, Bob, what sort of, I suppose for your members and people listening, what sort of tips, hints, advice would you give at the moment in the sort of present climate? What would be the main thing that you think would be good to put out there?
I think the key thing is about just being aware of external impacts that can have an effect that individually we just have no control over at all, but ultimately will impact each of us individually. Yeah. And that's something that's quite challenging to sort of get your head around in the current climate, because I think uncertainty has been a way of life for almost 2 years, that nobody really has known what's around the next corner. You know, as we sit here speaking today, Phil, you know, I've got a son who lives in France, and you know, we've no idea when we could go across and see him.
You know,
so there's things like that just you can't gauge for and you can't anticipate. But it's about just checking on things. I find I'm spending more time going on to LinkedIn and going on to social media and picking up on news feeds, because things are happening all the time, and the world is changing very, very quickly. And it's just being alert to those things and seeing almost unheard cries for help from people who are clearly struggling. You know, you see increased demand for food banks. You know, I know over the Christmas period, more and more people were supporting in terms of sending out hampers to people who are struggling, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's quite worrying that there's a lot of people who are suffering in silence at the moment. And you just wonder how best we can reach out to them and support them. And collectively, how can our members work together to support the lives of those people who are in problem debt and who are becoming increasingly anxious and concerned about their situation?
Thank you for that, Bob. I think, you know, at an organisational and corporate level, being aware of everything that's going on and being willing to talk and work on some of these problems and bring solutions to them is really important. But down on that individual level, you know, like you say about the uncertainty, and we know that uncertainty causes anxiety in people. When people are anxious, it's very difficult for them to make rational decisions about their finances. So I would sort of add into what you're saying, which yours is a good point, also the fact that before making those really challenging decisions and those life-changing decisions, especially around finances, look at the facts first. Be aware of what's going on, but look at the facts rather than be led by the emotions, which is the kind of thing that they say that 80% of our decision making is based out of our emotions. And that's phenomenal. And so it's vitally important that people do not only just take a note of what's going on around them, but also take note of the facts and make decisions based on facts rather than feelings. It's been wonderful chatting with you. And I know there's a lot more that we could talk about because there's so much going on, isn't there?
But good to talk to you as well, Phil. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And if anybody's listening to this and do feel that they're struggling, would like to talk to somebody, then go onto our website, aurumgoldlimited.co.uk, and contact us, and we'll put you in touch with the right people to talk with. So, Bob, thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll catch up at the next Friday forum.
Look forward to it, Phil. Thanks very much indeed.